We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
I reject sola scriptura because I love the written word of God. I don't want to see it undermined. I don't want to see its authority corrupted or compromised. I don't want to see scripture become the private play toy of every individual person who has some idea, whether true or bogus, about how religion should be. That is not what Jesus intended for his church.
That is Father Patrick Madrid. He's a Roman Catholic apologist of Catholic Answers. Being quite honest there, he's rejecting sola scriptura. He says it makes for theological chaos. It is not taught by the Bible. It's self-refuting. And it leads to every man sitting under the tree in the woods with his Bible, coming up with his own private interpretation that may differ from everyone else's own private interpretation. Is any of that true about this teaching, sola scriptura or scripture alone? We're going to be talking about that in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, the 13th of March. Our call-in number for the next half hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about Scripture alone, Pastor Stephen Parks. He's pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver, author of a chapter in the book Theologia et Apologia. He's Pastor Parks has a chapter in there titled A Lutheran Explanation and Defense of Sola Scriptura. Stephen, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's always great to be with you.
One of the objections that is probably lurking behind a lot of the ones you're going to respond to here, especially from the Roman Catholic side, is this is just a Reformation thing, sola scriptura. It's essentially an idea that the reformers in the 16th century, be it Martin Luther or John Calvin or others, dreamt up as a way of, and as a convenient excuse for rejecting a lot of Roman Catholic teaching. Is that true?
Absolutely not. Although I think that a lot of the Roman Catholic apologists, such as Patrick Madrid and some of the others we may be discussing today, do have a point insofar as they look at what many modern Protestants, quote-unquote, believe about the Bible. And that is, it's me and my Bible in the woods, no church, no creeds, no confessions, nothing like that. And they look at that idea and they see that it has absolutely no historical support nor any biblical support whatsoever. And as a result, they conclude that it's a new teaching, which, of course, that particular view is a new teaching, but it's not the sola scriptura of Luther or any of the magisterial reformers. I think there's been a lot of great scholars that have done some fantastic work to demonstrate that Luther's doctrine of sola scriptura, the notion that the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith, with creeds and confessions and catechisms serving as sort of subordinate theological norms, in other words, theological norms that draw their authority from Holy Scripture itself, is actually the majority opinion throughout church history. You know, you can take a look at, for example, a book that's published by CPH called On the Nature of Theology and Scripture by a man named Johann Gerhard, who is, of course, a 17th century Lutheran reformer. And he goes through not only the early church fathers, but also a lot of the medieval theologians to demonstrate that the position of Luther and the Lutheran reformers on this wasn't something that was new. From a reform perspective, there's a book called Post-Reformation Reform Dogmatics by a man named Richard Muller, and he does the same thing, doing with a particularly strong emphasis on the medieval church, demonstrating that what Luther did is picked up on a medieval tradition and basically championed that view because it was the view that Holy Scripture taught.
Okay, one other thing before we get into some of the audio that I'd like you to respond to, and that is, if the man alone in the woods with his Bible is a caricature of the classic teaching of sola scriptura, where does me sitting and studying the Bible with kind of my own reason, what I've been taught in the past. Where does that fit in? Are you saying that Sola Scriptura would rule out private Bible study?
No, absolutely not. On the contrary, it very much encourages it. However, you know, as has been said, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And there's no need for us to, as the Roman Catholic apologists often accuse us of reinventing the Christian faith sort of from the ground up with each succeeding generation of Christians. This isn't something that we have to do. Thankfully, the Lord has given us tremendous gifts in pastors and teachers and so on throughout church history. And as a result of that, we can avail ourselves of those gifts. And Sola Scriptura teaches us that not only are the Scriptures the only and sole infallible rule of faith for Christians, but also, and most importantly, it's Holy Scripture which reveals to us the things that are necessary in order to believe, to be a Christian, in order to be saved. The Apostle John teaches us in his Gospel that these things are written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, he writes there specifically only about the Gospel of John, but of course we can extrapolate that to all of Scripture. The purpose that Scripture was written was to bring us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as individuals sit down in order to read the Scriptures, our primary goal is to encounter the risen Christ there, to receive from him the gifts which he secured for us in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, namely salvation and the forgiveness of all of our sins.
I would like you to respond to some of the things that Patrick Madrid often says in a critique of Sola Scriptura. Again, Patrick Madrid of Catholic Answers. Here he is talking about how, in essence, the church as a historic institution authenticates the Bible.
It's like a dog chasing his tail. He says, I believe Scripture is inspired. It's the only infallible authority. Well, how do you know that infallibly? Well, because the Scripture. Well, where does the Scripture tell you that? Well, it doesn't. So he just has to go around in circles, and he won't admit that he's appealing to the tradition of the church. The fact is, he has those 27 books in his Bible because the Catholic Church said those were canonical. If you reject the Catholic Church, you have to furnish us with some other source upon which you base your testimony that those words in that Bible, in that 27 books of the Bible, are God's words.
How do we respond to this, Stephen?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways you can look at it, but I think that the bottom line is that Patrick Madrid here is doing what he so frequently does and what so many Catholic apologists do, which is they almost treat theology as if it began on Pentecost. In other words, they ignore the way in which God worked with his old covenant people, Israel. When you look at the way in which God has revealed Holy Scripture to us, we agree with the Roman Catholics that God has revealed himself both orally and also in a written format, just as he did in the Old Testament, that God had a God-ordained institution, namely the Levitical priesthood, which was given to help to teach and interpret the Scriptures and to point lay people, if you will, to the Scriptures themselves. However, that doesn't mean that the Levitical priesthood was infallible. We see time and time and time again that they do, in fact, make mistakes. They do, in fact, error, and many times are the cause of leading Israel astray. We see that throughout the entire Old Testament. Now, the same can be true in the New Testament. The New Testament church has considerable God-given authority. And one of the things that the New Testament church does is it acts as a witness to what is and what is not inspired. However, it doesn't do so in an infallible way. It does so in a fallible way. It points us to the thing that is infallible, not itself, but the Scriptures. And so the fallacy, I think, that we have here is that if the church isn't infallible, then it doesn't really have any real, genuine, God-given authority. That wasn't true in the Old Testament, nor is it true in the New.
Okay, here's another one, and we'll have about a minute for your response. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. This comes, again, from Patrick Madrid of Catholic Answers. And he turns here not to the church, but a close ally of the church, tradition. He says essentially tradition is authoritative and Scripture is nothing more than just part of that authoritative tradition.
Jesus condemns the traditions of men. Fair enough. Traditions of men, which are bad, should be condemned. But not all tradition is to be condemned. In fact, elsewhere, Paul praises oral tradition. 1 Corinthians 11:2, where Paul says, I commend you for holding firm to the traditions just as I gave them to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, Paul commands the church to stand firm and hold fast in the traditions that they have been given, whether orally spoken or through an epistle of theirs. So in other words, tradition is one major category, and there are two subsets in the one category, oral tradition, written tradition. That's what the Word of God says.
Okay, first of all, before we go to this break, with about a minute, let's deal with the notion that Scripture is simply part of the church's tradition, the written part of the church's tradition. Therefore, it'll always be viewed alongside of the so-called oral tradition of the church. About 1 minute.
Sure. Well, what we have going on here is an assumption, and it's an assumption that simply isn't backed up with Scripture. In fact, time and time and time again, you see Jesus upplaying the written word of God against the traditions of men, even as Patrick Madrid points out there in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark 7. The apostles did, in fact, teach things orally, but they didn't teach things that were different, contradictory, or anything along those lines to the Scriptures. Instead, their oral teaching always pointed people back to the Scriptures, and they commended those who searched the Scriptures to see whether or not the things that they taught were in fact so.
So you're thinking there about the Bereans who listened to Paul, and they're commended as noble and godly for testing it against what was written, about 15 seconds?
Precisely. You see that in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Their standard is always to the law and to the testimony, to the written word of God.
Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. We're talking about Scripture alone, responding to some arguments against Scripture alone, more responses to some more arguments. After this, our call-in number on this Friday afternoon, the 13th of March, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about tradition. Just because Jesus condemns the traditions of men, that doesn't mean that those who hold to sola scriptura throw away all church tradition. In fact, there's every reason, based upon Scripture, to accept traditions, historic, churchly tradition, as long as it complies with what is written. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
President Obama and abortion funding.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Barack Obama campaigned on finding common ground on abortion policy. Yet his decision to roll back the Mexico City policy signals that the abortion bailout has begun. The policy, named after the city in which it was proclaimed by Ronald Reagan in 1984, declared that American tax dollars would not fund international organizations that perform or promote abortions. Public opinion polls reflect that over 60% of Americans oppose taxpayer funding of abortion. Obama's decision to bypass the will of the American people promotes the radical agenda of the abortion lobby.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
You've been raised to believe in sola scriptura, the notion that the Bible is the sole rule of faith for Christians. In fact, you probably take it for granted that the Bible teaches this. So sola scriptura itself must be proved from Scripture alone. And if it can't be done, sola scriptura is a self-refuting proposition, and therefore it is false.
That, again, is Roman Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid. Sola Scriptura is false, says he. We're defending Sola Scriptura as not only a scriptural teaching, but also as one that is true in and of itself. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, is the Lutheran Study Bible. Yes, you can study the Bible. And yes, you can do it even in light and standing on the shoulders of Christians who have come before you, the very best of theological consideration and exegetical insight in the Lutheran Study Bible, Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book right there on the homepage. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible. Their number, toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Lutheran Study Bible, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March. Pastor Parks, before we leave tradition behind, what do we who hold to the scriptural teaching of Sola Scriptura do with those things handed down to us from Christians in history, namely tradition?
That's a great question. You know, what the Luther and the Lutheran reformers advocated was not a wholesale rejection of tradition. What instead they advocated was a cautious subjection of tradition, which is to say, we receive the traditions passed on to us throughout the ages of the church, and we test those traditions by the touchstone of Holy Scripture, which is the only infallible rule of faith. So tradition can be a very wonderful thing when it points us to Jesus Christ, and when it leads us back to His word of promise, His word of forgiveness, His word of salvation. But when it leads us away from Jesus, when it points us to other sources, when it leads us back to ourselves, it's not only something that should be rejected, but something that must be rejected, you know, on peril of being led astray and being led to a false salvation. Holy Scripture is filled with wonderful traditions. The Apostle Paul, for example, mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing, which we bless, in reference to the Lord's Supper. And there he's referring to the traditional Passover liturgy that was celebrated. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, he references the names Jannes and Jambres, the names of the Egyptian magicians which opposed Moses. Now, they're nowhere named in the Old Testament, but Jewish tradition says that their names were Jannes and Jambres. And there are other examples as well in the Old and the New Testament of believing and receiving tradition. But nevertheless, you'll see that these things don't establish doctrine for us. These aren't things also that contradict what is written elsewhere. Instead, it was a cautious subjection of the Scriptures, or rather of holy tradition, to Scripture, and testing it by that. And that's exactly what Luther and the Reformers wanted to do, to keep the Scriptures as the only infallible rule of faith, testing everything by them, just as we're told to test all things and to hold fast to that which is good in 1 Thessalonians 5.
Another objection to Sola Scriptura usually comes in the form of questioning or attacking the clarity of Scripture. Here again, Roman Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid.
Scripture itself denies that its doctrines are always clear to all readers. In 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, we read, "Our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction." So we see here that the Bible warns us that its doctrines can be misunderstood, they can be unclear, and they can be distorted.
Your reaction, your response?
Well, a couple of different things there. First of all, if Scripture is demonstrated to somehow be insufficient because it is able to be twisted by those who are untaught and unstable, then oral tradition likewise has to be also proved to be inadequate, because there are lots of people who twist that in order to be to their own destruction in some regards. There are some who look at the oral tradition that was passed on, for example, by people like Pelagius, and teach that the 4th century British monk who essentially taught that we need to save ourselves through obedience to the law, and some believe that today and elsewhere. And Patrick Madrid would even agree that there are many, many quote-unquote Roman Catholics who misunderstand, misinterpret oral tradition, and as a result, find themselves in real spiritual trouble. So we don't want to say that just because something is capable of being twisted or capable of being misunderstood, as a result of that, it must be inadequate. The bottom line is that Scripture teaches us that that it is a sufficient rule of faith, and that it's clear in the main and the plain things. Does that mean Paul didn't teach difficult things? No, Peter said that he did. But Peter doesn't say that it's impossible to understand the Apostle Paul, or that you can't understand the main and plain message of Scripture, namely the salvation and the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that from childhood you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That doesn't sound like Paul had a dim view of Holy Scripture. No, instead, he believes exactly what the psalmist declares, that the Scriptures are not darkness, but are a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path.
The final objection I'd like you to respond to, here again from Roman Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid, is that sola scriptura inevitably leads to doctrinal chaos.
You can open your yellow pages when you get home tonight and look at all the different so-called Bible-believing denominations which claim to go by the Bible alone, none of which agree on not only the essentials, or probably not only the non-essential issues, but also the essential issues. Salvation. Can you lose it once you get it? What about infant baptism? What about the Lord's Supper? What about tongues and prophecy and miracles? What about the perpetual virginity of Mary? Luther and Calvin believed in her perpetual virginity. There's confusion reigning among Protestantism, all of them claiming to go by the Bible alone, none of them being able to meet entirely on what the Bible means. Sola Scriptura has been a blueprint for anarchy, folks. Just trace the historical record back to the time of the Reformation and look at all the competing sects that have arisen.
How do we respond to this one? This one comes quite often and quite vociferously.
Right. Well, unfortunately, what it does is it takes a look at the way that things are in the church today, and it reads back into trying to find a reason for it. So we see lots of denominations today, therefore Scripture must be unclear. But again, I think that Patrick Madrid doesn't realize that oral tradition suffers from precisely the same kind of issue. There are many people who look at oral tradition as being the inspired word of God, if you will, the co-equal theological norm alongside Scripture. You have the Catholic Church, you have the Orthodox Church, you have the Old Catholic Church, which denies the infallibility of the Pope. You have certain segments of the Anglican Communion. You have schismatic Roman Catholic bodies, like those who don't believe that there is, in fact, a current legitimate Pope, or those who have seceded in some sense from the Roman Catholic Communion. And all of them look to the same early church, the same quote-unquote traditions, and they interpret and define them differently. Even within the Roman Catholic Church itself, you have theologians that disagree with one another. You have Thomists, and you have Molinists, and you have Augustinians, and so on, and so on, and so on. So Patrick Madrid would like us to believe that the Roman Catholic Church is completely unified in her theology, that she's sort of lockstep with herself, and that's as a result of oral tradition, but it simply is not the truth. The bottom line is that oral tradition, just like Holy Scripture, is able to be misunderstood and is able to be misinterpreted. But the result there is not a result of the unclarity of Scripture. It's the result of sinfulness of human beings who simply aren't willing to receive what the Word of God says. It's the same as the word spoken by Jesus himself. When people misunderstood Jesus, was it because the Lord himself was somehow an insufficient rule of faith for the church, his word? Of course not. It's because of the sinful hearts of human beings who suppress that truth in unrighteousness.
Folks, we have resources on Scripture Alone, Sola Scriptura, at our website tonight, issuesetc.org, under the On Demand page. Stephen Parks is pastor at University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver. He's author of a chapter in the book Theologica et Apologia. Pastor Parks' chapter is titled A Lutheran Explanation and Defense of Sola Scriptura. Pastor Parks, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, thank you so much. And if I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, etc. My own congregation is a very small church, And I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, you know, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Happy to do it. We'll keep doing it. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, and you'll find everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Monday on the program, we'll begin a five-part daily series with Dr. Alvin Schmidt on the influence of Christianity on civilization. That's a big subject. It'll take five segments with Dr. Schmidt to cover all of it. The Bible is enough. It's sufficient. Does it teach everything one needs to know about anything? No. Is it a science textbook? No. Is it a history textbook? No. But it is true, and it is true in the same plain sense that other things in our lives are true. Is it clear? Yes. Is everything in it crystal clear? No, but those things that are clear shine brightly on those things that are unclear. Will we ever understand everything it says? Well, not on this side of the resurrection, but what does it testify to? Jesus Christ, our Savior, from sin, death, and the devil. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk to you again Monday, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.